This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Before I get back to the calls, just quickly, Knicks lost to the Spurs. You heard CeeLo. Knicks have one more game before the All-Star break. That's in Detroit on Thursday.
Did you see, by the way, the slam dunk contest participants?
No.
Take a guess just off the top of your head. You know Obi Toppin's going to be in, right?
I did know that.
Okay. Do you know how many, you would think?
4 or 5 guys?
3.
Oh, is that it?
Why would they have? I mean,
I don't know.
I'm assuming
they've scaled things down because of COVID this year.
So they're not going to bring in players if they're not necessary. But still, 3.
But they can still do it
in a slam dunk competition.
What do you want from me?
Anyway, you were talking Knicks.
How many in a 3-point shooting contest?
More than that, I think there's 6, and there's actually some big names because what they're doing there is, as opposed to having just the best 3-point shooters, they're having the best all stars.
That's
3-point shooters. So that is pretty cool. So they're big names.
So more of a comp. And have you seen what the, and then we'll get back to the call. So have you seen the number of fans Atlanta's allowing in for this?
I have not. No.
No.
I would assume it's a normal percentage, right? Which is what, 15, something like that?
I don't know I know Atlanta's had fans because you had that issue with the crazy people in LeBron that were sitting courtside about 2 weeks ago or so, 3 weeks ago. So I know they have fans. I don't know how many. But yeah, I mean, I think the highest number I have seen has been Houston with 25%, and then you've got everywhere down to what the Nets have done, just 300 just to kind of get ramped back up.
Will you be in the dunk contest and 3-point contest?
I watched the game a little bit, but that's it.
Yeah, I think I might. Now, it's all the same day, which is weird. Man, I used to love it
as different.
A kid.
It's not the same thing.
Well, especially with 3 guys competing in it. It isn't the same thing. But
here's where the slam dunk contest lost me. When they would give you multiple chances to perform the same dunk,
right,
and then you get a good score.
Right, anyway.
If you missed it 4 times in a row.
You missed it 4th on the 50, hit it, and then you get 9s and 10s. Nah, that's ridiculous. You're right. That does lose it. But I used to love the event, not just even the Jordan or Dominique or, Spud, but even just years after that, it was still a great contest with relative no-names that made names for themselves. The 3-point contest, those were the big events leading to the All-Star game. I just feel like it's not the same anymore, but it is what it is. It's an All-Star game. There's not going to be any defense.
I do like that it's one day, though.
Yeah, I mean, what? Does it matter that I'm aging, so you don't think I could appreciate it as much, Scos? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so. I think that...
Scos said that in my head, said that I'm 41.
Yeah, why do you do that?
Yeah, why don't you
just
come on the air and say it?
Well, it depends on the particular.
But if you say, I'm going to react to that, obviously, which you can, I mean, that's fine to have the conversation, but you think it is because I'm getting older?
Yes.
So, but don't you enjoy, I enjoy other sports the same way I did. So why don't I like that?
Because I think for you, you've seen it for years and years and years and years. So the younger generation is still relatively new to them. That's what I would think.
Maybe.
My son's 16. He enjoys it.
They did freshen it up a little bit in recent years.
Yeah.
But the years Nate Robinson won, like you said, he was dunking 500 times to get the one dunk. He finally gets it down.
And at the end of
that point, by that point, it's like, hey, let's end
it. It's a meaningless competition.
Right.
Ultimately, it's not for a championship.
And that was kind of my point about bringing up the competition with 3 people in it. What kind of competition is that?
Well, 3 people.
Yeah.
We'll get to the calls in a second. If you're just joining us, Sal was late because he had a flat tire. We talked about vacations and going to Africa and space. So to tie it all up is John in Middletown. What's up, John?
Jerry, Sal, what's up, man? You guys are awesome.
John?
Listen.
Very nice. Thank you. What's up?
Hey, my wife decided to take the kids to a great adventure one day to the safari. She's going through and she gets to the bear section and she gets a flat tire in the bear section.
Now, there's a wall there, though, no? I haven't done that
in a long time. There's a little fence, like an electric fence that keeps the bears in. But all or nothing, the kids young, man, they thought they were going to die.
How long ago is this?
This was about 5-6 years ago.
Because I know now it's more of a ride. You don't take your car through it anymore. I don't know when they changed that. Now you go through, because we actually did it a couple of years ago, you go through on the big van or whatever the hell it is, the Jeep with all the people in it, and it's all, there's all glass walls off and stuff. Yes, it's not like, I know back in the day you would go through it and the monkeys would be all over the car.
Right.
And you could have all sorts of animals that could be hovering around. So maybe that's the time he's talking about. But I can't believe bears were free to roam.
Did you see that story a couple weeks
ago?
I'm sure you guys did. I think it was a couple weeks ago where the woman in Alaska was going to use the bathroom and out in I guess the wild, and she felt something scratch her rear end, and it was a bear. Or she thought it bit her. It turned out it was a bear. As she was going to use the bathroom, a bear was there.
In the bathroom.
In the bathroom. Yes.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
No, I can't. No.
Yeah, that was.
I actually watched a show yesterday for 20 minutes. Is it Living Alaska? I think it's called Living Alaska. It was a couple that lived their entire life in Arizona, and they moved to Alaska.
Huh. Opposite ends.
You think?
Did they live in igloos?
Their budget was $450,000 for their house. So they lived in they bought this giant log cabin. But the garage was detached from the home. And the one thing the girl said, remember, she's an Arizona girl. And the one thing she says is not that, but something similar. Well, what if I park the car after I get groceries in the evening and I got to walk 35 feet? What if there's something around?
Yeah.
Like, you're not even attached to the house.
Man, I would freak. And I know that we've seen that in Jersey, even with bears being out in people's backyards, right? I mean, I would freak out.
Yeah, that's not
if
for
I saw,
me.
Yeah. Well, who's it for? I mean, what?
Well, people live with it and they deal with it.
Just seeing a bear, even if you're inside and you're like, what? And you're seeing a bear roam. Again, I don't even like seeing spiders or crickets. I don't want any of that stuff. Imagine a bear roaming your backyard, or you go to use the bathroom and a bear scratches you or bites you. My goodness.
Not going to pass on that one. Yeah. Jordan in Manhattan. What's up, Jordan?
Hey, guys. Before I get to the safari point, Jerry touched on the guys coming back tomorrow. Is everything okay with them? I don't remember them mentioning being off a couple days. I don't know if we've heard.
No, it was pre-planned.
Been off for a couple days?
Yeah, no. They actually, I think Boomer had to film something, so they just took the couple of days. We actually knew here. We knew for a couple of weeks they were going to be off.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Don't remember hearing it. All right.
They're good. As Al said yesterday, couples retreat. Everybody's good.
Good. Well, speaking about, no surprise, he's pretty lost on this safari point. If Boomer's giving away these trips, you got to take that every day of the week in a heartbeat. It's an absolutely incredible experience. I think there's probably few things like it. It's not about being outdoorsy. The accommodations are great. You can be a few feet from these animals. You don't ever feel in danger. And on the cost, guys, I mean, families are probably spending more to take two or three kids to Disney than what you can go on a safari for. I mean,
all right, so give me a price. What's a safari cost? I want to go on an African safari, family of four. What am I paying?
So I don't know, family of four. We went two people.
Multiply it by two.
8 days. 8 days. You get your own Jeep, your own driver the whole time. Accommodations are pretty good, a mix between lodges and tented camps. Ooh. And it was less than $4,000 per person, which is obviously a lot, but you can do this without spending $20,000, $30,000 a person easily.
Well, no, I mean, but you're still talking a $20,000 trip, and all due respect, you can go to Disney for a lot cheaper than $16,000 for a family.
Well, Disney
of four.
Is expensive.
It
though,
is expensive. It ain't going to cost you $16,000.
I just went last year. On
it does
a
not
cruise.
Cost $16,000 for a week in Disney.
Like $3,000 per person. Does that sound about right for Disney?
$12,000 for a week at Disney? How are you booking this?
Well, that was a cruise.
Yeah, to your mind?
Especially if you drive there and spend a night in a motel in Georgia also.
With seven children.
Yeah.
You could do that, but no, you could go. I would say you do the Disney trip. Boy, you're not spending more than $5,000 for a family of four.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, again, the way that I did, we flew down, did Disney Park for a couple of days, I think three nights there, and then cruise from there.
Well, now you're adding a cruise to the mix, but you're talking about a week vacation. If you easy math, you get four flights for $300 a pop. That's $1,200. $300 a night for the hotel, six nights. That's $18,000. You're at $3,000.
Yeah,
$6,000 maybe.
You lost me when you started doing math, Jer. I have a hard time.
Come on, man.
Focusing.
Andrew in Albany. Andrew, what's up, man? How are you?
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Morning.
What's up, Andrew?
Yeah, Sal, this is for you, the safari business. If you need to look at, if you'd like to look at to see what safari is like without getting hurt or whatnot, it's on right now on YouTube. Punch in Safari Live.
It's Safari Live?
Safari Live. It's a four-hour show. It's about five, six guides that go from location to location, and you'll see everything. Lions.
Then why do I got to go?
Yeah, Sorry? Right. Watch the show.
On YouTube.
Yeah, you know what? That's Andrew, that's a good tip. Now I don't have to go. I can just watch it.
And you're pretty safe being inside watching it from YouTube.
Yeah, luckily I don't think my wife has any interest in that, so I think I'm pretty good.
I would love the experience. I'm trying to open my mind to things that in years past, Jer, I would never even dream of. So I would open my mind to the idea that that would be something incredible to see in person.
What would you say is more unlikely? Or no, more likely? Eddie going to Barbados and hanging out on the beach every day in the sun in a bathing suit, or
Eddie's a Speedo guy,
or you and Al
he's gotta be.
Going on an African safari.
I would think that Al and I going on an African safari would be less likely. Why? What's wrong with the beach?
Goes Eddie hates the beach.
I'm not a beach person, really.
You are you like a pool guy?
No.
Oh, okay.
I like going to the mountains.
I don't know why he strikes me as a Speedo guy.
Eddie?
Yeah, I know. It just came to
why?
Me. I have no idea.
If I'm trying to torture information out of people, perhaps.
I don't know
other
where
than
that came
that,
from.
No.
But,
Eddie
yeah.
and a Speedo. Justin and Meridian, what's up? Or Meridian or Meridan or whatever. How do you say that? Meridian?
Oh, hey, how's it going?
I'm good. Meridian. All right, cool. What's up, man?
All right, so this is just... a little, not debunking anything, just insight on what you guys were talking about with the keto diet before.
Yes.
So, I don't even like the word diet, if I'm being honest. I think it's like kind of like a marketing, you know, gets people's attention. But with keto and all these different trends, I mean, it all comes down to the same thing. Not debunking the ketosis process. I mean, that's all real, but pretty much you're taking in less calories at the end of the, you know, then the balance is where it needs to be. You're exercising, you're doing the right things, and you're not eating as much.
You know what's funny, Justin, what's funny about that is how many of my friends have done this, have not exercised at all, and still have lost a ton of weight. So I'm sure you're right about that, and I do agree with the science of the caloric intake and everything, yes.
The problem is it is not sustainable, and he is right that the word diet is so...
It's overused.
You shouldn't be going on a diet. You should be changing your diet technically, or changing the way
easier
you
eat. Easier said than done.
No, I know that. But when people say, well, I'm going on a diet. Okay, well, you're going to go on a diet for how long? 30 days, 60 days, 2 months. Then what happens when that diet
weight
is over?
Back.
Right, you're going to go back to what you were doing before. No, so you have to change your diet. So that is not sustainable, a keto
That's
diet.
That's why I've always given Al so many props for the way he has had so much discipline.
Eats, yeah.
Yes, and every day, I know it is boring. I don't know how he does it. Every day is very similar, and I know he does different things on the weekend. But to have that type of discipline, and here's the other thing, he lives by himself. So there's no judgment. If he wants to eat 17 Reese's peanut butter cups, he can.
But it's also easier because I'm the only one bringing food into here.
Yeah.
So there's nothing.
Yeah, no,
that's a huge difference.
I get that. But you don't think the fact that you have no one looking over your shoulder allows you more, you know, latitude to just do whatever the hell you want?
No, I think, you know, I don't have kids, so there's no cookies in here unless I bring them in. Or, you know, there's I can control what I will snack on because I might be in the mood for something, but it's not in my cabinet, unfortunately.
And that is a big thing. I'll come home and I don't want to eat bad, but there's cookies in there because my wife wants it or whatever, or vice versa, and then I'll indulge. Al, give me like a you let yourself go day. What's your cheat, so to speak, type meal?
Well, I just recently cut out Tostitos because I was eating half a bag a day.
I could not
control myself, so I had to just stop it.
Like
completely.
Addicted to them, right?
What kind of dip with it? You have any dip or just a plain?
It's just like a Paul Newman's salsa or plain. But I was really noticing, like, I was having all of those same behaviors that somebody addicted to something would have, which is after I was done, I was like, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore. And then the next day I'd be like, you know what, I'm going to try. I think I could have just a handful, and then I eat half a bag and feel terrible about myself. And then I'd be like, okay, I'll finish this bag. No more bags in the house. Then when I get to the supermarket, I'd be like, 2 for $7. That seems like a bargain. I'll control myself. And I just have to not eat them.
Yeah, it's so true. I have a big problem with during the week, I'll be great. And then on the weekends, just
well,
all
but that's where you end up going off the rails. That's, like Monday through Friday, you can be pretty much on schedule, and then you go out, you're with friends, you go out to dinner, and it's difficult.
There's always something. Food for me, and maybe there's a lot of other people. It, you know, when I have a stressful week of work, I get off the overnight on Saturday morning, 6 a.m. That to me is like, okay, it's my time to enjoy myself and enjoy my life. So I want to order in with my wife and whatever it is, pizza or whatever type of food we want, maybe drink a little bit. But then that leads to more bad eating. And then you say, oh, I was just going to do it on Saturday. But then you're not feeling great on Sunday and you're thinking, oh, it's the weekend. I'm home. The
exactly.
game's on. You know, I'll have chips. Chips is my big weakness. I'm not really a sugar guy, but I'll have the chips. Like I can
what
eat
kind of chips?
I mean, I like Cape Cod. I'm trying to think. Any kind of baked Lay's. Really – anything. You name it, I like.
You'll eat it.
I could go to Doritos, although I kind of been more, it's been more Cape Cod chips. I like the, not necessarily Tostitos, but that type of, you know, chip to have with the salsa or whatever. Yeah, all of that stuff.
And this goes to the discipline. Al, do you remember when we went to Arizona for the Super Bowl? We flew in on the Sunday, and it was a storm here on Monday. I think Evan and Joe were late. But remember, we checked into the hotel on Sunday afternoon in Phoenix. And we sat outside at the Hooters. We were outside, though. We weren't in the restaurant. Do you remember that on the street?
I do, yes. Hooters.
If you go to Hooters, what would you get?
Wings?
Or maybe
and beer?
Fries,
yeah,
a
right.
burger. He ended up getting a grilled chicken salad.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, you got to be kidding me. I can't do that. And it's impressive that he can go to a restaurant and still actually order something that's sensible on a menu.
See, and that's kind of my point. Like, that to me is not fun. So the weekends, when I'm done with a stressful week of work, I want to have fun and enjoy myself. For some reason, I think fun is eating bad food as opposed to, oh, yeah, let's order a salad.
Right. Boring.
So, yeah, right. That's boring. That's not fun. Give me some pizza and heroes and chips and all that.
I've probably been out with Al, I would say, at 50 times at a restaurant. I'd say 49 of those times he's either gotten grilled chicken or salmon.
Wow.
And the other time he might have just like, you know, didn't eat.
Respect the discipline. That's great.
Very much so. Yeah, I always have. Very much so. 921. I got one more. Judd in Hartford, then we'll take a break. What's up, Judd?
Yeah, hey, what's going on, guys? So I wanted to first off the gentleman that called earlier, I think his name was Justin. The very, very oversimplistic view of what the ketogenic diet is. So if you'd let me for a moment.
Go ahead, go.
The ketogenic diet, what it is your body takes, your liver is now turning out small organic molecules called ketones for your body to use as energy. Now, if you can imagine, we needed this evolution in order to survive. If we go out without glucose for a couple of days, we die. What happened? Well, our bodies learned how to take fat and produce energy. And the original ketogenic diet had applications probably about 80 years ago, was used to control people with severe seizures and epilepsy. And that was about a 90% milk fat diet. So 90% of your diet about was dairy fat. Pure dairy fat, and then the other 10%, you know, was maybe trace carbohydrates from that you'd get from vegetables and whatnot. And when people talk ketogenic diet now, it really is often a misnomer, and it's not sustainable because they don't do what's called a well-formulated ketogenic diet.
Right, it's basically evolved into what it is now, mainstream.
But the point is, you're not using carbs, right? Stephen Howard Beach, who's the one guy I trust on this, he was texting me about it. It's basically using fat as a fuel source,
which is what Eddie was saying.
Which is not sustainable. By the way, nor is a diet without carbs. You need carbs. You just have to eat the right carbs.
Right.
That's it.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
His name is Chris Lopresti. Go.
All right, some leftovers from throughout the morning we haven't gotten to, but we will once again mention the Spurs that spanked the Knicks last night in San Antonio. 119-93, 68 points in the second half for Greg Popovich's team. So not exactly the Tom Thibodeau defensive effort.
Did you have any of the audio from him talking?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Talking about the Texas situation yesterday or no?
Thibs?
No, Greg Popovich.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was like, wait, what happened with Thibodeau and the Texas situation? I did not see any of that in our system, but I will admit I did not go an effort looking for it myself. So I guess the short answer is no.
Got it.
But yeah, in typical Popovich fashion, he did have some very candid thoughts on that. Critical of the, is it the, I guess, the governor down there in Texas, right?
Opening up the state 100%.
Yes. So Popovich, what did Al write on his sheet here? Was it ignorant, or what was the word that he used?
I have it somewhere.
Ignorant. Yeah, ignorant. Yes, sir. See, Al? I pay attention when you send stuff over. So Pop, yeah, with his flowing hair where he looks like a cross between Jesus and Santa Claus, did let everyone know that yesterday. And then his team went out and spanked the Knicks in the second half as their 3-game winning streak comes to an end. Knicks back to 500.
You like that word, huh? Spanked?
Spanked, yes.
You've used that all morning.
All morning, or I think just in this segment?
No, you've used it before, too.
Well, I mean, they did. They beat him by 26. How would you beat up?
I don't think I've ever used the word spanked.
I always find it weird, though, because I remember going to broadcasting school, they would say if you do an update, you have to use different
verbs.
Right.
Yeah, you can't just keep saying beat.
I know, but now, like, knowing that, and I hear anchors give the scores, trounced, beat,
bounced,
the top,
thumped, erased.
Yeah, right. Like, Harris all these
Sound,
different
things. I learned that Harris Sound
was
the king of it.
Yes.
The absolute king.
I agree.
So, I just try to follow in his footsteps. He's a good man, and we miss him around.
Warriors toppled the Cavs, 108.
The Suns downed the T-Wolves.
Yeah, right.
Spank my ass with a noodle.
More that.
Hey, Suns beat the Mavs.
Wait a second. Who doesn't say spanked, huh, Jerry?
Spank my ass with a noodle.
Now, thank you, Eddie.
Do you know the context of
it
that?
It doesn't matter.
Do you know who I was? Do you know who I was quoting?
No.
Vern Lundquist.
Vern Lundquist used that?
Al?
Hello?
Spank my...
He used it on the program when he was a guest.
Wow.
Vern Lundquist.
See, that gives a little bit of context, but now I need to know the context in which Vern Lundquist used that on the program.
I think Craig just asked him, can you say in your voice, spank my ass
slap my ass with a noodle.
Sounds about it.
There it is.
Slap my ass with a noodle.
Oh, slapped.
Oh, okay.
Not spanked. So Jerry changed it to spank.
I guess. I remember we were doing the whole Vern thing.
Love Vern.
Yeah. Slap my ass with a noodle.
I would have thought maybe he worked that into Happy Gilmore somewhere along the way. He did a great job in that movie. Derrick Rose out for health and safety protocols. Jeez, crickets on that. His status for Thursday, unclear. Nets
on
at
what,
Rockets.
Health and safety protocols?
No, on Vern in Happy Gilmore. I thought we got something from
him
out there.
I was smiling. I mean, what am I supposed to say?
I don't know.
My face is actually hurting from smiling. But yeah, I didn't know that I needed to react to it.
Fair enough.
But it did not fall on deaf ears.
Okay. Yeah. James Harden back in Houston. We've got pregame coverage on The Fan tonight, 7:15.
It's hard sometimes as a listener to know if that's legitimate.
Tell me about it.
Right. I know. That's the point.
No kidding.
That's the brilliance of Eddie. And I've come to memorize the drops and know exactly. Like I can mimic what the drop is now.
He'll place them something and I'll hear it and I'll almost wonder if I said it.
Wait, did I just say that live?
There was enough sleep deprivation that's possible.
Yeah.
Re-rack on the Mets. I want to play Marcus Stroman again because I just like to have fun with him. He did pitch well yesterday in his first spring appearance, and the Mets did win. Here was Stroman afterwards talking about or really bragging about his stuff and just how good it is.
You see 99 get squared up all the time. My shit moves a lot, so I'm not really concerned with velocity. I'll be able to run a four-seam up there when I want in the mid-90s, but like I said, I have so many weapons, man. my stuff doesn't move like the normal stuff between my cutter, my sinker, my changeup, my slider.
Good stuff.
I'm going to go 25-0 this year.
He is nasty, man. I'm telling you, biggest year of his career. Yeah, I really do believe it.
It'll be good timing for it, and then he can have a Trevor Bauer-like offseason next year into the winter as he looks for his new contract.
Think about that. If he has a big year based on what Bauer got, what in the hell do you pay this guy? Like, what does the next guy get?
Well, how old is Bauer? I don't even know. But age is going to be a factor. Stroman's 30, right? He'll be 30 this year, or he's pitching at 30 right now.
But the point being, if he is worth, at least in the Dodgers' eyes and the Mets, I guess, almost, what, $40 million a year?
Well, remember,
what are we talking about?
You're
here?
Factoring into where we're at with sports, with the pandemic, and a lot of teams. I'm surprised that some guys got as much as they did, thinking that a lot of teams aren't going to spend a ton of money. I would think Stroman's going to get anywhere from $25 to $30 million a year, which is crazy, right? To think
about $1 million a start.
Now that's just a guess, but let's say he has a dominant year. Guy who's been an all-star before.
I would
he's
think
been
more
consistent.
Than. If he has a dominant year,
well, how much more?
Hell, if I know. I didn't think Bauer would get what he got.
Yeah, but it's only a few years, right, with that? I mean, I don't think you're giving a long-term deal for a pitcher. Well, the point is you're not committing long-term. And maybe let's say
maybe
Stroman
takes that approach.
Let's say he gets,
pay me short-term and I'll gamble on myself like Bauer's doing.
Let's say he gets 4 or 5 years at $25 million a year, maybe a little bit more, right, between, let's say, 28.
Okay, and that's fine. Not fine. It's still a lot, but my point was.
You think he's getting more?
If not Stroman, and my point of. What does he get is if he has a monster season. Not right. If he's just good.
Yeah.
I mean, that'll be what it is. Bauer was the hot commodity pitching-wise this year. And he got, I forget, what was the number? His average is out for the 2 years for, what, $40 million a year? Something like that?
So, yeah.
Right
yeah.
around there?
Maybe a little more. Whatever.
My question was, what does the next dominant pitcher get? Like, every time we sit there and say we've hit the ceiling, guys keep breaking through the ceiling, and I don't understand it.
And by the way, speaking of which, everybody keeps talking about the luxury tax threshold, and oh, how could, let's use the Mets as an example, or even the Yankees, where they're going to have to eventually extend Torres and Judge, or you could use the Mets with their guys. Well, that's going to have to go up. With the way the salaries are increasing, a $300 million contract is going to eventually become more normal.
Careful. So You're gonna get Al upset here again about the contracts in baseball.
It's insane. Well, it really is insane.
But they are insane. But the more prevalent they become, then the numbers are gonna have to go up. That threshold is gonna have to go up because otherwise teams are just gonna blow right by it. It's as simple as that. I mean, you want good players, you got to spend money. The Mets are gonna have to keep Conforto and keep Lindor. The Yankees are gonna have to extend Torres and Judge when the time comes. That luxury tax threshold eventually is gonna have to go up.
In the last 2 days, in the two shows, I think this is the only thing you and Al would disagree on. You guys have been creepily in lockstep on everything else.
Who's that, he and Sal?
Yeah.
Well, why? What is Al not? What's Al's take on that?
He just doesn't understand these contracts.
I don't either.
Baseball,
so.
I don't know where I know where the money's coming from. It's coming from everybody having to pay for Yes and SNY, even if they don't watch the games, like your grandmother, your mother, all this stuff. So my point is that when that finally ends, if it ever ends, then baseball will come back down the
reality. You know, my only argument to that would be, because as I told you yesterday, I went and looked up a lot of stuff. You're not wrong with that money coming in. The problem with it is, and this is what I don't understand, how Fox is paying $5 billion. Why?
It doesn't make sense. They're not getting that money back. I don't know what they're doing. It's often heard that you're about the NFL, that all these teams, that the networks hope to break even with the NFL, because what it does is it allows them to promote their primetime lineup. That's all they're in it for, right?
Yeah.
So it does make sense like that they can break even. You can't tell me baseball. They don't have the viewers.
So here's a couple things. This blows my mind, and this doesn't even get to the numbers you're talking about, but this still surprises me. Based on current subscriptions, baseball makes $600 million a year on MLB.TV. And how about this one? They just signed a $300 million deal with DAZN. Like, those are subscription.
To broadcast what?
Yes.
Random games?
Yeah, I mean, TNT paying them $3 billion.
Right. So, well, I wouldn't think that's going to change. Are we saying that that's changing for the worse?
No, I just don't understand. When I look at baseball, and I love baseball, but when I look at baseball ratings compared to football, I understand the finances of football because I also know that it's the most watched thing. I mean, look at the ratings of a regular Sunday afternoon football game. Then look at the ratings of baseball playoff games.
I don't know how
they don't compare.
I can't imagine it, though, getting worse. I mean, there's a reason Fox is paying that much, whether it's sponsorship or whatever. I mean,
but you see the ratings. You see World Series ratings, what they used to be to what they are now.
They're non-existent now.
We must be missing something.
Clearly.
These guys, these executives that get paid to figure all this out aren't just forking over billions of dollars.
For no reason.
Taking a hit year in and year out.
Right. And Al's point about the contracts, look, I'm not saying that I understand why it's gotten that way, but clearly it's been increasing like this for, you know, dating back for 50 years, right? The salaries become, you know, first it was 90 million or 50 million, then 90 million, then 100 million, 150, 200. Now it's 300, and it seems like, whoa, 10 years, $300 million. Now that's not even that big of a deal.
You're right that we heard Fernando Tatis's contract and we're like, wow, okay.
So right, exactly. So right. Marcus Stroman this year making $18.9 million, right? He picked up the option,
the qualifying offer. Yeah,
the qualifying offer. That to me for a pitcher would be almost $20 million a year for a guy who's not included.
Who's only
going to
make 30
game.
Starts.
Right, not that. So, and I'm not trying to disparage him at all.
No.
I'm just saying in general, right? The numbers. So if that, or even just take an average player now. You sign these guys $10 million, $15 million. That's like the bottom of the barrel type stuff right now. So what's the upper echelon going to get?
Know.
$25, $30 million per year. Eventually it's going Bowers, you mentioned, $40 million per year. So the next guy's going to say, well, I want $44 million or $42 million or whatever.
Right, and that was my question. At what point does it end? Because it has to at some point.
I don't know. You think it's going to burst? How's that going to burst? Why not?
I don't know that it can keep up.
Maybe these numbers?
Maybe the length of the deal won't bounce. I don't know. It's never gone. It hasn't gone backwards yet.
Right, and the audience keeps getting older and older.
And shrinking.
Those people die. They do.
Well, clip it.
Well, I think
baseball audience will die, yeah. And then what you're left with is not a lot of people.
Man, that was very Recco-like there.
I still think there's. I've been thinking a lot about this. I love baseball. I still think there's young fans. You don't think
there are
a
young
ton
fans?
Of young...
Like my son and his friends. They yeah. But it's different.
But they don't watch games.
Right. They consume it a lot differently. So Matthew will watch Mets. There's no doubt he will watch Met games. The rest of baseball, though, it is all highlights driven on his phone.
But they will find a way to profit from that. That's you have to keep up with the times. And that's part of what those guys have to figure out as they shell out all this money. How do we make money off of the way young people are now consuming the game? And they will figure it out.
Like a 30-year problem, you think, for baseball? I just want to know, the rest of my career, I need to get through at least like the next 20 years being able to talk about baseball. When is baseball going to fall off and be an irrelevant sport?
You know what? We're doing all right still, but I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But it is different. It is consumed different.
But we're doing all right in certain cities.
True.
You know, we're here in New York, right?
You think it ever changes in New York, Al? Because you think about it, right?
I do. I do think people will die and no one will come back.
But
I really do.
Generally, those people that die, and I get what you're saying, the older audience and all that loves baseball. Yeah, you get calls on the overnight, certainly. Oh, let's talk about Joe D and Mickey Mantle and all that. But you have younger fans because of their parents following baseball, and there's that bonding experience, mother and son, father and son being a baseball family. Those young kids then still grow to be old. We're still having, you know, even 40-year-olds or 30-year-olds that are still baseball fans that have at least another 20 years of being baseball fans. Takes a while, doesn't it?
And then they die.
And they're dead. And then what happens?
Sal doesn't really care what happens once he's retired and
no,
out of the business.
Just get me through the next 20, 25 years, and then whatever you want to do.
I only need 8 more years or so I'm good.
Hang in there. A couple I want to play from you here before we get to moment of the day. New Lions head coach Dan Campbell, we know he's a character. He was on with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio yesterday. He takes the job, of course, just as they ship Matt Stafford out of town, but he says that's okay. We've got Jared Goff now.
Goff is – nobody's won more games in golf over his career than freaking Tom Brady. And he's a winner. He's durable. And he's tough. He's got a quiet toughness about him.
What the heck is he talking about there? I don't know. Right? Sal's face. Doesn't make sense.
That. Right. How do we get to Tom Brady?
I don't know.
But how has he won more games over the course of his career than anybody but Tom Brady? I don't know. Whatever.
What the hell is he talking
about? I don't know.
He's very excited.
He is.
What was the follow-up question to that?
I couldn't tell you. Yeah. But I will tell you, they did ask, of course, about the bite the kneecaps comment from his intro presser, and he did want to clarify that a little
Listen, for all the listeners here that think that I don't understand that if you bite a kneecap, that's a personal foul, believe me, I know that. All right, 100%. And so I know that we really won't be biting kneecaps off.
All right, so we got that ironed out. And then lastly, some thoughts on Tiki, his former teammate with the Giants. They played 4 years together. Just kind of let this one play out.
You can always draw up like an all-star cast of guys you play with. And it's not always going to be the greatest players you ever played with, although Tiki would have been one of those two.
True.
It's those guys you'd go to war with any day. And Tiki Barber is running back, excuse my language.
I love it, Dan. I love it. I love you, brother. Good luck.
One of those guys I'd go to bat for any freaking day is Tiki Barber, man.
Well, did you catch him? I guess the other day he just did a regular presser with the Detroit media talking about how he's got the owner now, the new owner. Is it Martha Ford Hamp or whoever she took over for her mother? He's got her in there on their meetings, like their personnel meetings, asking for her input. So he's definitely turning over a new leaf in Detroit. We'll see how it works out once they get on the field.
All right.
But definitely different times as they've moved on from Matt Patricia.
Excellent.
And with that, we will now get to Moment of the Day. It is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it.
Moment of the day!
All right, and Sal's flat tire experience this morning, obviously a highlight of the show, a few minutes late as it turned out, and he was trying to justify his inability to change the flat, had to get his 8-month pregnant wife and 65-year-old mother involved.
Pull over as I'm shaking. I'm still, like, shaking nervous, and I'm panicking. I don't know what to do. Where's Jerry? Dad, I want to go dig my dad up. I need help.
Jesus,
here.
Sal.
I mean, this is what I would normally do.
Oh, my God.
So I have an issue. Now, my main focus is I have to, it's not my car, it's not fixing the tire, it's I have to get to work now. There's no wiggle room.
I appreciate
here.
The commitment.
Well, I mean, I don't want to get fired again. I have a job to do. I need to get here. This is my only thought process. How am I getting to work as soon as possible?
I offered to walk you through changing the tire.
Correct.
To which you ghosted me.
Well, because what I was trying to do was, first thing I did was call my wife and tell her. And then she's like, what? What are you talking, you know, and yeah. Thank God.
Change the tire.
Yeah, well, so as I called her and said, I need you to just get here. Because even if I change the tire at that point, she could have taken that car home.
Right.
So as I call her and just get her on the way, and that's what I'm thinking, okay, at least a car is coming and I'm going to be fine. What happens with her in the car?
Oh, Jesus.
That's a little bit. No, I mean, obviously, I'm concerned about my wife. This is an issue. What am I supposed to do? I'm calling a rocket arm. Like, this is not my fault. This happened. It's an accident. So what am I supposed to do? So then I go to get the stuff out of the back of the trunk. And I don't know how to use it.
And therein lies the problem.
You had the trifecta there.
The son of a mechanic doesn't know how to use the stuff.
Oh, man. My dad would kick my butt. But if he knew about this
he would have been a very disappointed dad.
He does know about it. So.
Oh, my God.
All right,
terrible.
Chris, thank you very much. Moment of the day brought to you by Casamigos Tequila, which, by the way, I post a nice photo on Saturday about a nice cocktail, nice Casamigos
Tequila. I saw
tequila.
That.
Now, it's bad enough people were getting on me for a red Solo cup. Whatever. People getting on me for drinking the Blanco tequila. You got the wrong one. The other one's better. I like the Blanco.
Right.
They're you're both a tequila
very
good. Guy or no?
Yeah, I've had that before. Both very good.
Excellent.
Not straight. I have them in, you know, margaritas.
Well, you could go for sure. You could do that with club soda, a little twist of lime. Very good, too. So
it's the morning show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
We've had some fun with African safaris and Disney and
outer space.
We actually talk sports at times, too. So it's been everywhere. I would like to correct a wrong. I don't think I am, but clearly I must be because a couple people say I am. And I think we're also thinking of different trips. Sean in East Northport, correct me. Go, dude. How are you?
What's up, Jerry? What's up, Sal?
How are you?
What's up, Sean?
So listen, if you said it's about $4,000 just before you even get your feet on the ground.
We're talking about a Disney trip.
Yeah, Disney.
So let me just, before you go on, let me just be clear because I want to, like, in my experience for myself, and I've probably been, because we have time sharing, we've gone to Orlando a dozen times. But when I think of a Disney trip, I think of 6 nights and I think 3 days of parks. I do not think every day. I would think 3 days of parks, a few days by the pool, and your airfare and your hotel. To me, that's about a $6,000 trip. And we were talking in relation to the African safari, which we found out is probably about $20,000 for a family. So go ahead. Where am I wrong?
Okay. Well, yeah. So even if you do 4 days, figure it's $100 a person to get in, right?
Yeah.
Then you just think about the meals. I'm sure you did some of the buffets and stuff like that. Those are like ridiculously overpriced to begin with, right? So figure $250 a family just for those buffets.
So are you talking about a Disney hotel or just being in Orlando and doing
no,
the Disney thing?
In the parks, like if you go to the parks, so even just to get into the park, you have your tickets to get in.
Yeah, sure.
You go, you know, to the safari, you know, all of them. It's still going to cost you, I would say, anywhere from, at least when I went with my girls, you go to the Bippity Boppity Boutique, right? That little fun thing for the girls, right? So that's probably $250 a kid. Before you even get into the park, you're saying you're spending $5,000. I don't know. It's,
man.
When I went, it was easy $9,000-$10,000 for a family of four for a week.
Yeah.
$9,000.
I think that that's probably closer to what you were saying. Now, again, it's different for me.
Now, it's not 16 to 20.
Right.
Clearly, but I, so I'm saying $6,500. He's saying $9,000. I'm not close there either.
Like I said, we did it a year ago. Almost exact, right before the pandemic hit. Thankfully, we got away and whatever. And I'm sure that there were issues on that ship. But anyway, it was about, I think, $3,000 per person, I want to say. Maybe $2,500. But that was the cruise. So 3 days in Disney and the hotel on the parks, couple of parks, and then the full, what was it, 7-day cruise maybe on top of that?
That was a 10-day trip?
It was fantastic.
Oh,
yeah.
No, I'm sure it was. That sounds
Super
great.
Bowl. I watched the Super Bowl on the cruise ship, on the top deck of the cruise ship, watching the Niners and Chiefs. Yeah, it was great. I highly recommend it once they get back going, if they ever do. Those Disney cruises were great. But yeah, it was a long trip and it was expensive.
I don't remember the year. I want to say it was 2002, I think. And Kim and I were going on a cruise out of Puerto Rico. So we got there the night before, had a great night. Resort was beautiful. And then the cruise was, you know, leaving at 5 o'clock or something. But I remember I called up, like, when can I get on the boat? And, well, the earliest you can get on is noon. I'm like, perfect, because I know the Cowboys are playing the Lions at 1 o'clock. And they said they had the Sunday ticket until they left port. I'm like, this is awesome. They're not leaving till 5, so I can watch the game at 1 o'clock. We rush, we get there, and it was the best thing we did, because by 3 o'clock, the line to get on the cruise ship was around the cruise ship. It was ridiculous. Get on the boat. My wife had no interest in watching the football game after the first quarter. It was one of the worst games I have ever seen. It was, I think if I remember correctly, it was Chad Hutchinson.
Oh,
remember that name?
Sure.
I think it was him that made his first start for the Cowboys, and I couldn't have been more excited. I'm like, they got a quarterback. This guy, I really believed he was going to be the next great quarterback. And I sat there on the boat watching this horrendous football game. It was awful.
You're on a cruise ship drinking beers. What was he? Was he after Quincy Carter?
Yes.
I don't remember the timeline.
Yeah, so. I believe he was, because Quincy Carter, was he after Quincy Carter?
Probably.
Now
I'd
have to go back and look. It might have been, you know, everything blends.
Well, who was after Aikman?
Well, they had a bunch of different people.
That's what I'm saying. So it was in that mix, right? We're around those.
Quincy Carter was the quarterback out of Georgia that Parcells had for the first year when he was there. And then Carter had the drug issue.
Henson, what about him?
Drew Henson was another one that was part of that.
I'm wondering
if it was Henson or Hutchinson that played that game against Detroit. I don't remember. But if you remember, until they found Tony Romo, it was a different quarterback every other year.
Right.
Because they never found anybody. But I'll never forget watching that game on that boat. Yes, very cool experience. But, what an awful game. One final one here. Here, this is a good one. Dan in Booton. What's up, Dan? Good morning. How are you?
Morning, Sal and Jerry. How are you guys doing?
Good morning, sir. Dan.
You guys were talking about the keto before. I started keto the Monday after the new year. I guess it was January 3rd or 4th or something like that. Lost 14 pounds in the first week. Granted, a lot of it was water weight.
It's amazing.
One week?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I was about 290, 295. I couldn't believe the results after week one, but obviously it slowed down after that. But I'm losing on average 3 to 5 pounds a week still right now.
That's a lot. Just be careful with it, because like we said, I don't believe that that's sustainable. I think it's great that you lost that weight. Now, I mean, if you want to slowly put carbs into the diet and healthy ones, I mean, maybe you could maintain it.
So where are you at right now?
I am just under 250. I started at 295. I'm probably going to do it for another 2 or 3 weeks, and then I'm going to start bringing sugars back, because the problem with keto is I want to have a healthy snack like a strawberry or fruit, but fruit's loaded with sugar.
Right.
Even though it's natural sugar, time out. You can't have a strawberry?
No. Well, you can. You can have one or two. Keto is no sugar, no carbs, and I am following it. I don't count. You're supposed to do something with net carbs. I'm not doing anything like that. I cut out all sugar, all carbs.
Wow. So you know what, Dan? Good for you. Keep it up. That's incredible. That to me is an issue, though. When you have a diet where you can't eat strawberries, I mean, come on.
Well, that's what we're saying, that you should be able to eat carbs as long as healthy ones, ones that the body can break down easy.
I get you can't have, you know, a Hershey bar, but geez, that's a bit much. A banana must be like, can't touch a banana.
I had a friend who went to a Weight Watchers meeting,
and he
said somebody in the class asked, how many grapes are we allowed to have? And the person said, nobody's here from eating too many grapes.
That's true. That is very true. If you're eating a lot of grapes, you're probably doing just fine.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.